This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Identifying a human body isn't easy when you're dealing with decomposed remains or just a few scattered bones. The Center for Human Identification at the University of North Texas specializes in these kinds of cases and receives requests for help from all over the nation. Dixie Peters leads the Missing Persons Lab at the center, and she's here to talk about their work. Dixie Peters, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
What kinds of cases does your lab take on? I'm assuming you can't take every missing person's case.
Correct. But we accept cases that skeletal remains are discovered in a variety of different situations and they have no idea who they are. So investigators will call on us to try to get a DNA profile from that, put that into a database, and hopefully match that up with relatives who are missing their loved ones, where we previously have processed their samples. We will also accept some cases that perhaps they just need a confirmation of a DNA identity.
What is the most extreme case that you can think of where the DNA that you had was the hardest to extract?
Oh, cases that are about 80 to 100 years old are the hardest ones, yes.
I'm going to follow that up with what's the oldest case you've dealt with?
I think from the 1930s, because they weren't exactly sure, of course, when the remains had been buried, but they were buried in soil, and so they unearthed all these graves, and there was very little remains left over. There were some teeth that weren't even intact anymore. The bones were very brittle. They would just fall apart in your hands.
Your lab made the news in July when it identified another victim of serial killer John Wayne Gacy. How did your lab get involved with such an old case?
The Cook County Sheriff's Office outside of Chicago, Illinois, I'm not exactly sure how they heard about us, but they had contacted us in 2011 and wanted to see if we would be willing to try to process these bones. They had 8 sets of remains that had not been identified back in the late 70s, early 80s, because DNA wasn't around at that time. And certainly we were willing to help them out, and we were able to get DNA profiles from these skeletal remains. And then once they knew that we had the DNA profiles, then they made a press release or a public announcement for families to come forward that had missing brothers that matched the victim profile of a John Wayne Gacy victim.
So. What's the most difficult thing about your job?
I think 2 things. I mean, one, I think that, I mean, the skeletal remains themselves are just so challenging. And for agencies and for the families who are waiting, I know it is just I can't imagine what the pain is of waiting for something like that. But it does take time. And unfortunately, it's not like, you know, what we see on TV where we can, you know, turn around a DNA profile really quickly. So that's the challenge. It's just trying to not only maintain a high level of quality in the work that we do, but also try to do it as quickly as we possibly can. But knowing that it may take us several attempts in order to be able to get a good profile.
What's the most difficult case you've dealt with?
Wow. There's so many. Some of the special projects that we've worked on, we had one that was it was called the Dozier School for Boys out in Florida, and that was one where the school was being accused of misconduct, I think abusing boys and actually potentially even murdering them and burying them there on the school property. And the school had closed several years ago, and they were able to have an anthropologist go through and dig up each of these graves. And then we were trying to, you know, obviously get a DNA profile from these samples. And by this time, I mean, since these were boys, here's where the challenge was, is because these were boys that had died in, say, the 1930s. And they obviously didn't have any children. And so finding family members that were still alive that would be available for testing for comparison, that was challenge number one. And then challenge number two was being able to get good DNA from these skeletal remains that were so old.
Has there ever been a case that made you feel good?
Oh, wow. All of it. Oh, I guess some of the ones that stand out the most recently was, and it was actually a result of some of these Gacy cases, because so many family members started coming forward thinking that maybe their loved one was part of, was a Gacy victim. We actually ended up helping solve some other cases that would have never been solved had these family members not come forward. For example, there was a young man who was identified that we had received the remains from Utah. Utah a couple years prior to receiving the family reference samples as a result of this Gacy investigation. And when we found this association in our database, that was just really rewarding because, I mean, had that Gacy case investigation not been reopened, I don't know if the family members would have known to even come forward to be able to provide their DNA. And also, I mean, with unidentified remains, you never know when you're going to get a hit or an association is what we prefer to call them. Because, for example, we may have unidentified remains that we processed years ago, and we can have all the DNA profiles that we want from all the skeletal remains. But until family members come forward and, you know, go to law enforcement and have their DNA collected, a lot of these associations are going to go missed. So that's really what I would say to the listeners, that if they have a family member who is missing, contact law enforcement, get a missing persons report going, ask them to collect your sample and get it sent in.
Dixie Peters leads the Missing Persons Lab at the Center for Human Identification at the University of North Texas. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.